Life Community Church is pressing forward with 2014. Amen, church? Amen. We are seeking what God has for us in this new year, and we are praying that He shows that to us and guides that to us. And in this new year, as we're pressing forward, we have a new theme, a new mission slogan, so to speak, and it's on the front of your program, and we're really trying to get this in your brain, okay? But this is the type of church that God is leading us into 2014, that we will be say it with me if you remember it, a connecting church, a caring church, and a changing church. What we desire in 2014 is to be the type of church that Jesus Christ wants. That we connect to Jesus daily, weekly. That we gather to worship Christ in our gatherings and in our homes. We take the Spirit of Christ back into our homes. And then that we care for each other. We care for each other by being in Christian community with each other and being in life groups and meeting the needs here in our body. And then also changing the world by being actively engaged in our communities, making a difference. So we're not just the church that comes and sits on this nice, comfortable metal folding chair. No. But we are the type of church that goes into the world and makes a difference. Amen? That we will be obedient to the great commission of Jesus Christ. And we are praying and asking God to do that. And as we continue that theme today, take your program, take out your sermon notes that you have in there today and follow along. And we're going to be reading from the book of Jeremiah, one verse, chapter 29, verse 11. It's an awesome verse. And many of you all may have this somewhere in your house. It's not uncommon to find this on a plaque or on the vinyl lettering that sometimes sticks on your wall. This is just a really neat verse. And I think as we press forward as a church, this is a good verse for us. This is a great, powerful verse for us. And I would just like, if we can, I'm going to read it, then we'll all read it after I read it together. But it says this, in verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you," this is the Lord's declaration, "plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you future and a hope." Can we just read that together? Let's do that. "For I know the plans I have for you," this is the Lord's declaration, "plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29, 11. What an awesome verse. A promise to us that no matter what we have planned, that God has incredible plans for us. Let me give you some background, some context of this verse. It's in the Old Testament. It's before the days of Jesus. And Jeremiah the prophet had this huge task of preaching a not-so-fun message. He had kind of a doom-and-gloom message, so to speak. And part of his people, the Israelites, were actually exiled. They were captured. And they were living over in this foreign land. And Jeremiah had to basically tell them that, you know what, this is God's will. You guys kind of messed up. This is kind of God's punishment. And you guys are over there and more are coming. And it was a really discouraging message that Jeremiah had for them. A really discouraging message. But the promise that God gave the Israelites was this: even though you are in captivity, you are under slavery over there in Babylon, and this is happening to you, and it's really devastating, and it's really difficult for you to process, God still says something to you. And God says, even though it looks really grim right now, and it doesn't look good, God promises that He knows He has plans for you. He knows He does. And those plans are not to hurt you, it's not for disaster, but it's for a future and a hope. And God was telling the people of Israel through Jeremiah, that there was a future for them, that there was hope for them. Now, somebody today may be in this crowd, and you're sitting there thinking today, do I have a future? Do I have something that I'm pressing forward into my life? I hope and pray that today that you'll discover what that is. Do I have something that I'm pressing for? You know, as we get into 2014, I'm sure you already have plans that you have laid out there. Plans that you have maybe said, okay, this is what 2013 looked like. Now let's see what 2014 looks like. And even our church, for example, has plans. I mean, you know, we have our big Friend and Family Day. Who's excited about Friend and Family Day? Anybody excited about that? I'm excited. Our second annual. Here's what's cool. We got an awesome crowd this morning. Our goal was, yeah, isn't that amazing? We praise the Lord. And here's what's great. Our Friend and Family Day, we're setting the goal to break 190. Hey, I believe we can do it. I believe we can do it. Look around. Be encouraged, Life Community. I believe we can do this. So that's a goal that we have, a plan that we have. And we're going to do an outreach. If you saw in the program, we're going to do an outreach over at Kroger on Frederica. We're going to give out free hot chocolate and free coffee just in the name of Jesus. One of those things where we trip people's minds, where we don't accept donations. We say no to donations and they get all weirded out. And they say, why? And we say, just because Jesus loves you. And they don't know what to do with that. We're going to do that. In 2014, we're going to do our Heartland Block Party again. And I'm really excited about our New York mission trip, our very first mission trip at Life Community that we're going on. And we're praying that God provides our funds for that He takes care of that. Likewise, I'm sure you have plans for 2014. Now, don't raise your hand. Some of us are trying to lose weight. Amen. Some of us try to get on a budget. Amen. Some of us are trying to read the Bible through for the first time. Man, I hope you do that. Get you a good Bible reading plan. Use the YouVersion app to help you. Get it from the App Store. It's a great little program you can get. It got reading plans that you can go through. It's phenomenal. Do that. Maybe some of your goals and your plans are more quality time with your kids. Be more active in your church. Be a better wife, better husband. I don't know what your plans are. But I just ask you that question. There's your first blank before we get into the points. But what are the plans for 2014? Write that in there. I don't know what it is. Just start thinking. What are the plans for 2014? Are you thinking about it? Maybe not. Maybe you just live from day to day, moment to moment. I like what one guy said. He said, man, you can either plan your calendar in advance or somebody else will plan it for you. Some words to that, isn't it? Some words to that, some wisdom to that. So what are the plans for 2014? But let me ask you this. Are these my plans or God's plans that you have? What you have outlined, are they from the Lord or are they from yourself? Now, it's really important that we talk about this because you guys can have some great plans that may not come into fruition. Did you know that? It's an idea to think, hey, you know, by the end of this year, I'm going to be CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation and own all of Owensboro and rule over it with an iron fist, right? Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to happen. But what are your goals? What are they? What are they? Do you have godly goals for 2014? Do you have goals that you believe have come from the Lord? Do you have plans that are from the Lord? And I want to ask you that because it's important. Because sometimes our plans are not God's plans. Did you know that? Now, I'm not in the habit of quoting Woody Allen, but let me quote to you what he said. I think he's actually right about this. He's wrong about a lot of stuff, but let me quote this to you. He said, he's known for saying this, if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans. If you want God to laugh, tell him about your plans today. And I'm going to be honest with you, we really need to understand that our plans will fall short if we don't get with God's plans. Now, who here today, don't raise your hand, but you're the type of person that you are the exact opposite of the person who says, well, whatever happens today happens. You know, you're the exact opposite where you have your iPhone scheduled out every single half minute of the day, right? I'm waking up at this time, at this time I'm doing this, at this time I'm doing that, this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is what I'm doing. And if one thing goes wrong, oh my goodness, call the paramedics. You need your heart recessed. Amen? You need it revived, right? You need the defibrillator to shock you back in because it got upset. Now, what I'm getting ready to preach is really going to set not good with those type of folks, okay? What I'm getting ready to say, those, my OCD crowd this morning, amen? Amen? My OCD crowd, this ain't going to be good for you, this sermon today, because we're talking about trading what we plan and what we do for the Spirit's movement and for the movement of what the Lord wants, to be open and flexible to what God has for us, to wonder with the Lord.
leading us. To go where He leads us and to do what He tells us to do. So basically what we're doing today is we're all about trading our little world and the way we want to design it and custom make it for what God has, which is sometimes the unknown, which is sometimes scary, which is sometimes not what we planned. But I hope today as we dig into just the topic of planning today that we see that God does have something for you if you get in line with God's plans. Do you believe that today? That if you're in line with God's agenda, that it's actually better than your agenda. Do you believe that? That if you are in tune with the Lord, it's better than what you have planned for yourself. I hope and pray that today. So quickly, how do we discover God's plans for our lives? How do we discover what God has for you, for Alan, for Amy, for Jason, for Charles, for Mark, for Brian, for Marshall, for Buddy, for Nikki, for Christy, for Jean? Amanda, how do we discover what God has for you? Well, let's just look real quick. Let's see what the Bible teaches us about getting in tune with God's planning today, okay? First, I want you to know that God's plans are not a secret. It's not something that you have to climb on some mountain to get a hold of. You don't have to come find some sort of monk sitting on top of a mountain drinking tea and humming all day to mystically find out God's plan for your life. Actually, God's plans are found in Scripture. If you really want to know how to find out God's plans for your life, the Bible is the key. Now listen to this. Proverbs 15:22 tells us that plans fail when there is no counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Here's one way to make sure what you're planning will fail. You ready? Consult no one. If you want your plans to fall apart, seek no advice and try to do it on your own. Hey, listen, what I'm learning about life, man, why reinvent the wheel? You know what I mean? Go to somebody who's a wheel salesman. Amen. Ask them about the wheel. Ask them about the wheel. What can you learn from the wheel salesman? Why try to reinvent the better wheel? So when it comes to finding out what we need to do, you need to kind of embrace already that you need help. You need to already say, what I know isn't enough, and I need some help. Look at your neighbor this morning. Look at him and say, I love you, but you need help today. I love you, but you need help. You see, without plans, we fail. You need help. You need help today. So where does that help come from? Isaiah 55:11 tells us this. God is speaking. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty. Some translations say void. But it will accomplish what I please and will prosper what I send it to do. God is saying that the word of God does not return void. It does not come empty. It doesn't leave you shortchanged. So when it comes to learning where to get good advice from, hey, right there this morning, the Holy Scriptures of God, the inerrant, infallible, the true Bible this morning. Hey, when we get in that book, we discover God's plans. Somebody says, man, I just wish God would speak to me, Kenny. Brother Kenny, can't God just speak to me? Man, He has. He's given you a bunch of words and even 66 books to fill those words bound in the Bible. He has spoken to you. And more than that, He has written it down for you. Isn't that pretty awesome today? He has literally written down for you what to do. This is not rocket science. But here's the key. The key is if you want to find out what God's plans are, seek the Bible. Seek the Bible or read the Bible. If you want to know what God's plans are, just read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures today. What we need in our planning is to have what we call a biblical worldview, which means that if we can see the world through the way that Jesus teaches us to see it, through the Scriptures, and we can begin to see the world and how to make decisions based on what God says, we'll be in a lot better shape. We really will. If we just listen to what God's Word says and do it, you know, like James says, you'll be blessed. You know, don't just listen, not be just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And that means that we need active Bible study. Go get you a good study Bible. Go get you something you can read and understand. Carve you out a little time before you wake up, before you go to bed, whenever you're at your best. Study the Word. Take an ink pen. Underline what speaks to you. Circle it. Take a highlighter. Interact with it. Digest it. Allow it to speak to you. And you know what?
you'll discover God's plans for your life. I mean, you don't have to go on some mystical quest for the fountain of youth. You'll find it. It's right there. God has given you the Bible for you to know the plans He has for you. The plans He has for you. He wants you to know that. So understand the plans are found in Scripture. But this is the part we don't like. Second point. God's plans may frustrate you. Go ahead and say it. Oh me, instead of oh man, right? Oh me, instead of oh man. Now, this is the part we don't like. Because when God's planning, He doesn't consult us about our opinion. Now, did you catch that? When God's making a decision or a plan, He does not ask how you feel about it. Did you know that? Now, we think He should, don't we? Lord, you should really take into consideration who I am. And God is saying, you know what? You should really take into consideration who I am. That I made the entire universe. I formed molecules and atoms before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I got this. But look what happens. Psalm 64, 6 through 7 says this. Speaking of the wicked or those that do wrong things, they devise crimes and say, we have perfected a secret plan. We've done it. We have concocted the best thing ever. And the inner man and the heart are mysterious, but God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they'll be wounded. He says for those that plan evil schemes, thinking that they can get away with it. You ain't going to get away with it. You think you can hide it? You ain't going to hide it. You think you can sweep it underneath the rug? You ain't going to sweep it underneath the rug. God will frustrate those plans. He will interfere with those plans. He will get in the middle of those plans. You may try to shortcut God, but God's saying, I ain't having none of it. And He'll get it one day or the other. You can't devise or concoct something that God doesn't know about. You can't do that. Proverbs 16:9 says what? A man's heart plans his way. Boy, if we just stop there, we'd all say that is wonderful news, right? We plan our way, right? We put it in our day timer and our iPhone calendar. We plan our way. But what does the rest of it say? Read that with me. But the Lord determines His steps. Here's the deal. You can plan it. But in the end, God says what happens and what doesn't happen. That's who gets the final word. Understand this. We have what we call a sovereign God. Now, what does that mean? It means that God's in control. That He knows what's happening. He allows us to have free will within that sovereignty. But He still is sovereign. And He knows what He's doing. He's a sovereign God. He knows how the end will pan out. He's decreed that it will pan out a certain way. He knows that. He doesn't get your counsel. He doesn't get your opinions. God knows. He's a good God. And with that being said, when He has plans and you're not in tune with those plans, you're going to run interference with the Lord, and you're not going to win. Y'all with me on that? You're not going to win. So that's why when we have plans and it seems like, oh God, please bless these plans. Please bless these plans. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And they just fall apart. And you come and you say, Kenny, I don't know. I prayed that God would bless these plans. I prayed He would take care of these plans. I just asked Him to take care of them and bless them. And here's the deal. Why is God going to bless something He ain't for? Y'all with me on that? If they aren't from the Lord to begin with, why should He bless that? Why should He bless that? Why should He do that? You know, I had a lady in one of my previous churches come to me one day, and she said, you know, God's telling me to leave my husband because He's giving me a new man that's out there. And I said, are you serious? She said, yeah. I mean, this is my soulmate. This is my soulmate. Man, we love each other. We love each other. It's my soulmate. Will you pray God will bless this? I looked at her and I said, absolutely not. She said, why? Because you are married to your husband. I don't care if Juan Pablo from The Bachelor walks up in this place. You commit. Amen? You commit it. You commit it. So here's the key. You ready? Here's a good surefire way to make sure that your plans don't get frustrated. You ready? You ready? Submit your life to Christ. Say from the beginning, I'm God's. His plans are for my life. His plans are for me. I belong to the Lord. Not my way, but His way be done. Boy, that's tough, ain't it? Looks good on a bumper sticker. Hard to digest. Hard to digest. So understand that if you're not in line and in sync and submit it to God, He ain't going to bless your plans. He ain't going to. That's not the way it works. Third, check this out. God's plans will be fulfilled. This is a great promise, okay? Psalms 33:11 teaches us that the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart, there's that keyword plans again, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. Here's what's great. God, when He says something, means it. And it doesn't change. So, for example, I believe in the Old Testament that when the prophets prophesied that Jesus would come and that He would come and die and raise again, that that happened. I believe that when those prophets uttered that in the Old Testament, that Christ would come, God would come in flesh and would die for the sins of the world and would raise again, that at that moment, that was as real, just as real as it was when Jesus came. Are y'all following me today? Likewise, when God says now that one day He will return to this earth, that Jesus will return, correct all the injustice on this earth, will cleanse it, make it new, and make a new heaven and earth, I believe also that that will happen. Are y'all with me on that? I'm standing and believing that if God says it, it will happen in His holy word. Now, with that being said, that simply tells me that God's plans can be trusted. It can be trusted. Which means that if God's plans are so timeless, they stand from generation to generation, that tells me that I really want to be in line with God's plans. Because my planning is so full of error, my planning is so doomed to fail, it's so missing information, I want to make sure that I'm with God's plan. So here's the key. Agree with God's plan. Go ahead and say, whatever I discover in Scripture, whatever I find in the Bible, I want God's plan for my life. Now, when I read it, it may not be what I want to hear right then. Are y'all with me on that? Because God's word can sting sometimes. It may not be what you want to hear right then. But if you submit it and then you agree, you're simply saying, I trust it. I trust that if this is the way God says I should handle my marriage, that's the way I'll handle it. If this is the way that God says I should handle my finances, I'll handle it that way. If this is the way that God says that I should handle my work environment, then I will handle it that way. Because I know that His planning has fulfillment. His planning has something to it. It's not just going to say, oh, well, I can't trust God today, so I better not do that. No, it does. Now, if you really want to get to the heart of God's plans, this is kind of godly planning 201. What I just told you maybe is 101, but this is the 201 level. Are you ready for God's plans? If you really want to get into the heart of what God has planned for you, you got to find this one verse, and it's in Ephesians. But it teaches us this, that God's plans focus on Jesus. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. If you really want to know where God's plans lead to and what God is doing with your life and what He wants to accomplish with your life, understand that God's plans always are about Jesus, always. Jesus, who is Jesus? He is God who became man, who lived sinless on this earth. He died. He was innocent when He died, but He died for our sins. He rose. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and those that believe in Him are saved not by works, but by grace and mercy if we freely choose Him today. So if you really want to know what God has planned for your life, you need to go ahead and say, Jesus is the aim of my life. It's all about Jesus. Ephesians 1, 5 through 6 says this, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to His favor and will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He favored us with the beloved. Now, that's a big verse. Theologians argue over this verse. They fight over this verse. They get to that part, he predestined us, and they stop and they say, I don't want to read more of this. This is too scary for me. But don't get hung on that part, okay? Look at what it says. If you have in your Bible or if you have in your notes, underline the part to be adopted through Jesus Christ. Because that's the key. The predestination here is what? The predestination is that it was God's plan from the very beginning that people would be saved in one manner and one manner only, and that is through who? Jesus Christ. That is the predestination. Are you following me? From the very, very beginning, God said people will only be saved if they believe in who? Jesus. That's what it means. The only way someone can be saved, it is written before earth was ever created, is in Jesus. That's the predestination that's being spoke about right there. That Christ, it is predestined for man if to be adopted through Jesus Christ. That it's only through Jesus. So what does that tell me? Underline that through Jesus Christ part. That's important. Why? Because that tells me that God's ultimate plan for every single life is what? For every single person that's born is what? That they believe in Jesus. That's their plan. That's God's plan for your life. That you surrender your life to Jesus. Now, if you choose not Jesus, you are outside of God's plan. Are you with me on that? The Bible says He wishes no man to perish. That He so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But that has always been. Jesus is the plan. So that tells me if we really want to get on God's plan, make your life about Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, you need to know Him in a personal saving relationship. Is that fair to say? And then you need to make your life about Jesus. So, for example, here's the key. Make plans that honor the name of Jesus. In your planning, what brings glory to the name of Jesus? How can more people hear about Jesus in your plans? So, okay, you have plans to start a business. Now, it may not be a plan. It may not be a church ministry or something like that that sells Bibles. I don't know. It could be maybe you sell boxes of nails in your business, okay? Well, here's the question. How are you going to sell boxes of nails that glorify Jesus Christ? How will you conduct yourself in a way that people will say, you know what, that box of nails salesman, something's different about her or him, and they love Jesus. How are you furthering the name of Jesus in whatever you do? Are y'all following me on that today? See, if God's ultimate plan is for us to know Him, everything in our plan should be helping people to know Him. That's why at Life Community we do things like Friend and Family Day, or we do things like big events and breaking records and breaking high attendance goals for a reason. Because if you do things like that, it gives you an incentive to invite lost people here. Are you with me on that? We're not really concerned about breaking number records. That's not our thing. Our thing is getting people in this room to hear that Jesus loves them and saves them. And we're giving them a reason and an excuse to come to church. Are y'all following me on that today? We're giving you a reason to get them here for Friend and Family Day. So this is what I'm going to challenge you. When we do Friend and Family Day, don't invite... Hold the phone. Follow me, all right? Don't invite your friends and family that know Jesus. Invite your friends and family that are on their way to hell. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? It's easy to get grandma in here who loves... Jesus is probably going to send a chariot to escort her to heaven. You know what I mean? But bring the biggest heathen in Davis County on Friend and Family Day. Bring them! Bring them! Bring them! Because we want to glorify the name of Jesus. Amen, church. Amen. And here's what they're going to discover. This whole church is full of everybody who were heathens at one time, but have just been saved by the sweet grace of God. We're all in this together. Finally, I want you to see this about God's plans. God's plans free us from failure. And I think this is one of the greatest parts about God's plannings. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Now, it didn't say whatever you plan will be achieved. Did you catch that? It's not saying if you plan it and you're a Christian, then it's achieved or it's going to be successful. It's not that you just pray it into being and then it's going to happen. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that you commit these to the Lord. And I think we've outlined a good way real quick to how we do that. For example, we talked about that we study the Bible and that we submit to God and that we agree with God's plans and that we focus on Jesus in our planning. So if we can just outline those things, that I'm going to see what the Bible says about this, and I'm going to submit to God, and then I'm going to say, Lord, whatever you say is okay with me. And then we say, I just want to glorify Jesus in this. That's committing your plans to the Lord. And then there's a promise. And the promise is that if you commit your activities to the Lord, what will happen to those plans? They'll be achieved. But now here's the part we don't like. Are you ready? The key to following this. Here's the key. Throw it up there. Boy, I don't like this one, but you won't either. But we just got to agree with it. Amen? Trade your plans for God's plans. You trade them. It ain't what I want. It's what God wants. How many churches are split wide open because somebody wanted something and somebody else wanted something else, and God didn't want either of it? I think that's the key to understand, is that you have to trade your plans. And you guys, listen, there's some humility in this. There is some swallowing of pride in this. There is some big, deep breath in this. And say, God, I don't know what you have planned for my life, but whatever it is, I'll accept it. Guys, this is what we call maturity. This is why some people can go through illness and sickness as a Christian and not give up on God's plan, because they know that somehow in that suffering, somehow in that illness, somehow in that death of a loved one, that God will be glorified and He has a plan in all of it. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That we trade what we want in life for the will of God. This is hard stuff to grasp. As I think about our church, it is so important that we always stay flexible before the Lord. That we stay before the Lord all the time. And if things don't necessarily go the way that we would like for it to go, here's what we say. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll go a long way if we have that mentality. Y'all believe that? We'll go a long way if we have that mentality of accepting God's plans for our lives. I read a story about during the Cuban Missile Crisis days, and when all that was going on, that the U.S. government went out west and they began to dig mine shafts out in the deserts and areas like that that would house millions of Americans if nuclear fallout actually happened. Some of you all lived through that. You remember that when you do nuclear war drills underneath tables and things like that. But what was hilarious, not hilarious, but it was detrimental actually, that even in the best planning of building these mine shafts and these tunnels, that even in their best case scenario, 135 million Americans would have still died with their best plans if nuclear war would have happened. See, here's the deal. We can never plan enough. We can never see all the outcome. That's why we simply have to trust in God. Are y'all with me, Life Community? God's plan for your life is found right there. God's plan is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died a death for us, shed His blood, so that those who would believe would trade our sins for His sinlessness, and we would be made righteous and whole. See, God's plan today begins with you coming to the cross of Jesus, acknowledging that you're a sinner, acknowledging, like we sung earlier in the song, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. And when we begin to plan in light of the cross of Jesus, when we use the cross as a blueprint for daily, monthly, yearly planning, God will do great things. Because the cross simply beckons us to die to ourselves and live for Christ. Will you trade your finite earthly plans for God's will for your life today? It begins by giving your life to Christ and then surrendering to Him things that are unforeseen, things you can't control. And as our band begins to come, it begins with us simply saying, God, I need you today to change my heart, change my ways, and to help me. Would you pray with me today? Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. And Father, in this moment now, we pray that our plans will be traded for your plans. God, that you have plans for us, Father, not to harm us, but for a future. And you have plans to teach us and to guide us and to lead us. And Lord, today we pray that we'll just be in tune with you. That we won't tell you what to do, God, and ask you to bless it. But instead, Lord, we will ask you what you want and ask us and ask you to bless us as we try to do that, Lord. So today we surrender. We trade our plans. We ask you to help us. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, I pray today they'll give their life to you and would be saved. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Maybe you need to come forth. Make a decision. I'm right here. We invite you to the cross to pray. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. We invite you to come as we sing today.